Dad, can I have the car tonight? My 16-year-old son asked me. He just got his license a few days before, but had never yet driven the car alone. He had to work at his part-time job, and I didn't have to be out that night. And so I said, well, I can pick you up. Dad, I have my license, he said. No one else needs the car. Why should you drive me to work, drive home, then drive back a few hours later to get me? Can I take the car tonight? It was the first time our son had the car by himself. So now it's 10 o'clock and it's pitch dark. A sudden drop in temperature is turning the drizzly rain into sleet and ice patches on the road. The police have advised people to stay off the roads for the evening. So here we are, Mom and Dad, sitting in the living room, staring out at the driveway, and our greatest desire is to see headlights. He should be home by now. He probably had a little extra to do at work. Is that him? No, it's just the neighbors. Teenagers, this is what parents are thinking and feeling at those certain times when you are out with the car. When it's later at night, they listen in bed for the car door and then the house door, and only then can they relax and go to sleep. See? Even though you parents or teenagers or 20-somethings would say that using the car is no big deal, that it's an ordinary, everyday thing, yet it is a big deal. The question, can I have the car tonight, is about so much more than the car and having it tonight. The driver's license assumes adulthood, we know. It's tangible proof in the teen's mind that I am a mature, responsible member of society. It's your ID. It's central to your American identity. But there's the disconnect that parents and teens have and have to work through. First, parents know their kids better than Jesse White in the state of Illinois. And even though the state is willing to certify your teen as a licensed driver, and even though your teen got great marks in driver's education class, all sending the message that your teen is now a responsible adult, parents have a lot of day-to-day evidence that their children are a long ways from being mature adults, and that their teen's friends, their peers, who are also beginning to drive, and who are on the road in front of them and behind them and beside them, their precious child, they are no more mature. Eugene Peterson says it this way: the state and school might think it's safe to let them on the highways. The parents have doubts. Parents suspect that the state police might have doubts too if they were regularly subjected to the sounds of slammed doors and the sight of unkept rooms that make up the everyday landscape of the home. So for adolescents, the car focuses their proximity to adulthood. For parents, their distance from it. But second, there's a larger issue still. Our identity is as a child of God, made holy in Christ. Our baptism is our ID. We don't become adults just because of our age or because we think we can do adult things now. The license doesn't tell us who we are. What signals our maturity is not the government, but God. Just because the government says so doesn't mean that this is who you are or this is right and that is wrong. We learn right and wrong from Christ, not Uncle Sam. So how do we keep our emotions and fears and pride and selfish ways from getting in the way of our relationship with one another when licenses are obtained, insurance is paid, and Mom, Dad, can I have the car tonight? Christians have an experience that gives wisdom. We have been taught by the Holy Spirit that our lives are about growing up. But not just growing up physically or socially. The task of each person created in the image of God is to grow up in Christ. That's the hope of Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And other versions write it simply this way, that we grow up into Christ. So all these growing up issues, like using the car, are spiritual promptings to challenge us to grow up together in Christ. We won't please God by being a good driver or by keeping our child safe on the road, but by a different kind of maturity altogether, growing up in Christ, equipped for works of service, living in faith and in the knowledge of Jesus, Savior, and Lord. And notice that this is not an isolated, individual maturity, but a growing up into the body of Christ, that is, into his community of faith, his church. Verses 12 and 13, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, here's an occasion for teaching what it really means to be an adult. Not doing your own thing, but following Christ's love and lead. Not being on your own, but taking your own place in Christ's community, the church. Blessing and being a blessing to others. That's what maturity is all about. Your parents aren't going to be driving you around as much anymore. But there is coming a day when they are not driving your faith practices either. That is more and more your responsibility too. But none of us is alone or on our own in this. I know, when you are in the driver's seat, you are tempted to think growing up is all about being independent, and independence means I go where I want, when I want, and as fast as I want. And this must mean what it is to be an adult, to be mature, independence. But that's not a Christian identity. That's not what it means to grow up in Christ. Maturity in the kingdom of God is not so much about being independent as it is about being interdependent. We are dependent on some. Some are dependent on us. We share independence and freedom in other things. We have a mutual interest in many things. We are connected. We are interdependent. Our first exercise of maturity in this is a dependence on our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 4 reminds us that all we have is a gift of grace. That first of all, our life and destiny belong to God and depend always, daily, on our Heavenly Father. And that second, and just as importantly, we are gathered into Christ's church, and that our ascended Lord over life and the church has given us one another for this task of growing up in him. That's what verses 11 and 12 say. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip you, his people, for works of service, dependent on God, sharing dependence on each other's gifts and blessings, each serving the purposes and desires of Jesus, which bring out fullness in life for one another and all creation. So the goal of life is to live for God's glory, not our freedom. And this is measured by love, which we talked about last week. A willingness, a desire even, to lay down our lives, our wants, our preferences, and our privileges for the well-being of others. The result, verse 16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Interdependence. So this question, and many questions of growing up, are about interdependence now. This is to comfort us, both to teens who wish they could grow up faster, and to parents who feel more and more left behind as the days gain momentum and rush their kids into adulthood. We are not on our own. We are not starting from square one. We are living in grace already, our identity already assured by the cross. That's how this whole teaching starts. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Here's a gracious emphasis of faith that we sometimes miss in our do-it-yourself world. When it comes to being loved by God, or sensing God's presence and blessing, or being led by God, it's not somehow up to us to somehow get close enough to God, or know enough to know God, or do enough to be good enough for God. It's not do this, or complete that, or attain this, and then you'll have it all figured out. It's already given to you. And faith is about growing into what you've been given. The Bible teaches that our journey with God is one of justification, sanctification, and glorification. It's not a journey where Christ Jesus is on the far side at a distant but unsure end. Rather, Jesus is with us from the start and to the very end. From the start, we are justified. We are made right with God by Christ's worthy sacrifice. Faith is about growing into, growing up in Christ. We live our way by faith into the reality of this holiness. So the Apostle Paul can say here at the beginning of our text, this is about being who you are. This is about living a life worthy of the calling you have received. So Christians must bring faith into our growing up questions, locating them in the grander theme and the reality of growing up in Christ. How does this help us? Well, we know there's no template or formula for when teens should be able to ask for the car and when parents should say yes or no. We can't point to a Bible verse from Proverbs that talks about the rules of the road. There's no story of Jacob's sons asking to use the family camel. There's no law of Moses on driving. Jesus never drove, so we don't know what Jesus would do. But there is a family style that leaves room for our growing up in Christ as you address this and many other questions, whether in the family or in the church family, about growing up and growing up in Christ. There's a style that blesses a maturity for teens, 20-somethings, and parents. And it has to do with teaching interdependence and linking maturity to responsibility rather than fighting over independence having my say and getting my way. Parents witness to this. When their responses show, they understand that asking about the car is not just a time for dad or mom to exercise authority over their teen or 20-something. Yes, you still have a God-given authority over your children. You have made a promise that was sealed and witnessed in baptism, so you still answer to God on behalf of your children. But here is a time to exercise wisdom, to coach your kids into growing up. It's easy to play the authority card. It's a deeper authority that raises the teen or 20-something up into what is larger than themselves or even you, this interdependence we share in Christ. What helps is for parents and teens to share what the car means to them and what the teen driver means to each of them, parent and teen. And then to talk about what is getting shared beyond the car keys. Shared responsibilities. Shared consequences. Shared fears. Shared trust. And who is responsible for what in those shared concerns? In short, the question of the car is an opportunity for deeper conversations of trust and thankfulness and being in it together. We are each and all striving for maturity, and we can't do that alone. In fact, major steps in maturing happen when I persistently live out the truth that life is not about me first. And of course, all of this goes way beyond the car and who gets it tonight. It's a time to ask and evaluate and examine, how am I growing up as a teenager? 20-something. How am I growing up into Christ? How am I maturing in faith? And what does my use of the car say about that? Am I taking up an attitude of interdependence and of a witness in my responsibilities and privileges and freedom? What does my want for the car and my use of the car say about me growing up in Christ? And could I articulate that to mom or dad? And incidentally, parents, your motivation for handling this question with your teens in this way will teach them and you how to handle the question when you are 80. And now it's a question of whether the keys should be taken away from you. What the Holy Spirit is calling us to is radical. It is revolutionary. It is using all the advantages of blessing that God has given you for His glory. Imagine, you are not on your own. Yes, you answer to God and others, but the Lord and others have promised a love that means being with you to the very end. And do you know that there are secular philosophers today who consider this unfair? That having these blessings of family and interdependence should be discouraged and even stopped because if some don't have what Ephesians 4 talks about here, this resource of grace and gracious people, then no one should have it. A recent Breakpoint article by Eric Metaxas quotes Professors Adam Swift of the University of Warwick and Harry Brighouse of the University of Wisconsin at Madison. They think they found the root source of inequality in our society, and that is the family. Since family, who have promises and blessings such as these listed in Ephesians 4 that give an advantage to children, they should be restricted in what they can do because others don't have this blessing. Swift says, if the family is this source of unfairness in society, then it looks plausible to think that if we abolish the family, there would be a more level playing field. C.S. Lewis warned about this warped way of thinking long ago in the Screwtape Letters. In one scene, the demon tells graduates of a demonic college to teach humans that good habits, the kind that improves society, kind of like what we're talking about this morning, that these good habits are undemocratic. Instead of nurturing and encouraging virtues like morality and excellence, he says humans should be trained to resent and to destroy them. The goal, says Screwtape, is the elimination of every kind of human excellence, moral, cultural, social, or intellectual. Teens, did you know how radical your family was? When you asked for the car, and now it's time to sit and talk about it with mom and dad. How revolutionary to teach that growing up is about interdependence, blessing one another, sharing responsibility and consequences and witness. You have to ask for the car. You should be thankful and thankfully grow in your interdependence, not only at home, but also as church. For it is how the world is blessed. If we all live long enough, we will feel tossed around by life and its strong waves and undertow. But circumstance by circumstance, like the question of the car and driving, we are being led by the Holy Spirit to grow up in Christ and in His grace find the wisdom and assurance to live for His service. So, teens, do you know what you are really asking when you ask for the car tonight? And parents, do you know what is beginning to be at stake when your teen asks to use the car? And how are we all growing up in Christ, equipped for His service? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being the one true God with us always. We praise You for the blessings of one another in church and family. We pray that by the counsel of the Holy Spirit, we may grow up in Christ, depending on You and giving and receiving in our church fellowship, interdependent on one another. We pray for our teenagers and those in their 20s, finding their place in Your kingdom. Bless their schooling, their finding of work and vocation, and their exercise of faith and piety. Help each to know that they are not on their own. Jesus, You have given Yourself and Your church to be with each of them always. We ask Your mercy, Lord God, for those in need today. Be with Carol Welsh to strengthen her. Give continued healing to Karen Busack. Bring strength to Gail Schuster. We pray for Jerry Waldman for healing after her hip fracture. And for Harry Morris, who will undergo ankle surgery soon. And for John Boringa, who has some heart problems and will undergo an angiogram tomorrow. We remember Jenny Lanning and Jenny Post at Saratoga. And we pray for our aging parents and their needs, thinking specifically of Brenda Lamberti's mom, who is going to rehab soon after hip surgery, and her dad with his many health issues. And Lord, we remember those who carry ongoing medical, physical issues into each day, and so bring strength to Sue Lakey And watch over Bev and Pete Folkerts too. May those who serve at PADS tonight bring the peace of Jesus to the homeless in our community. And Lord, we pray for peace on our city streets and in the war-torn countries of the world. We pray for Kenny and Rebecca Huber beginning their married life together. And ask, Lord, that you hear all our prayers for faith and forgiveness, for hope and healing, for righteousness and repentance, and assurance in every trial and temptation. We entrust our lives fully to you, Lord, because you alone are good and the only source of all good. We thank you for your blessings. We rejoice in the gift of life. And so we thank you today for a healthy baby girl, Zoe Lou Mack, born to Dylan and Mallory, granddaughter of Bob and Alice Voss. And we thank you for this gift and for your goodness to us. And so, Holy God, full of mercy, make us whole and wholly yours. In Jesus' name, amen.